Hello and welcome to our program today, and glad to be with you and glad that you're interested in God's Word. We're always blessed by studying the Word of God. It's a blessing to us, and we welcome you to study an important matter concerning the church that Jesus built. The church that Jesus built had elders or bishops. Sometimes they're called shepherds in the Bible. They're called shepherds or bishops or overseers, and oftentimes they're called elders. The church that Jesus built had leadership, and the elders are the shepherds or the leaders of the local congregations. Now, they're not the king of the church. Jesus is the king of the kingdom, and God has always needed leadership. In the Old Testament, there was Moses who led the children of Israel out of the Egyptian bondage and led them for 40 years until they reached the promised land. There were other leaders in the Old Testament. Joshua replaced Moses as the leader of God's people. There were spiritual leaders of God's people, such as Samuel and Elijah. And of course, David was one of the great kings of Israel and a great leader thereof. There must be leadership in the Lord's church. That's the way it's set up. And it's that way in school. We need leaders in school. We need leaders in the army. We need a captain of the ship in the Navy. And in our nation, we have a president, we have a Congress and judges. So there must be leadership, an organization. That's what we have in the Church of Christ. And the better our leadership is, the greater the congregation's work is going to be. Few churches are ever able to rise without efficient leadership. And so the better the leadership, the better the congregation's operation is going to be. And so let's use our Bibles today as we talk about leadership in the Lord's church. Let's notice in Ephesians 14, there were churches that were established in Galatia. Churches in Iconium and Lystra and Derbe. And as those churches were established, Paul came back through those same towns and established the leadership in those congregations that were established in those towns. Notice in Acts 14 and verse 21, when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Now, verse 23. And when they had ordained them elders in every church, and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they have believed. Now we notice that they came back through those same towns where the churches had been established, and they ordained elders in every church. Now the elders were made by, or designed by God to be over the local congregation. They're over the local congregation. They're not over anything else but the local congregation. And so we don't want to be like the Catholic Church. It has a pope over all of their churches. We're not the Catholic Church. That Catholic Church has a foreign organization. It's not found in the Bible with popes and cardinals and such as that. We don't have that in the Bible. The Bible has elders that were established in every congregation. And we also notice, and let's turn to Acts 20. Now, Paul is talking to the elders of the church at Ephesus. Notice verse 17. And from Miletus, that's one town, he sent to Ephesus, that's another town, and called the elders of the church. Now, the church has an organization, and as we're seeing, and it has elders in the church. Now, a lot of denominations don't follow these instructions, and so that's how you know the true church from a false church. One of the ways is the organization. Another way is their teaching. But notice what he says to these elders that he has called from Ephesus. He says in verse 28, Acts 20 and verse 28, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood." So it's the church. He's purchased it with his own blood. But he has elders over that local congregation in Ephesus. And notice they are to take oversight. They are the overseers. They are the superintendents. They are the people who make sure God's will is being done. And notice they are to feed. They're to feed the church of God. That, of course, is with spiritual food. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 4, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." We feast on the spiritual word of God. And so the elders were over the Ephesian church. They were to take the oversight. They were to be over the church and their oversight to the church to make sure the church was fed. And also, he goes on to say, they need to protect the flock. In verse 29 of Acts 20, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock." There are dangers out there. There are wolves. Jesus said false prophets are as ravening wolves. And so the elders are to also protect the flock. They're to feed the flock. They're to oversee the flock. And then he says in Acts 20 and verse 30, "Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears." And so he told those elders to watch out for that flock. He had warned them night and day for 3 years, night and day with tears. The work of the Lord's church is very personal. And so he was there to warn those people. Now, not all men in the church can be an elder. Only those who are qualified can be elders. Not everyone has the same abilities or the same talents. In Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30, Jesus told a parable about a master who had three servants. He gave one servant 5 talents. He gave another servant 2 talents. And he gave the last servant 1 talent. So they all had different abilities. Not everyone is at the same spiritual level. 1 Peter 2 and 2 talks about newborn babes desiring the sincere milk of the word. Hebrews 5 and 12 talks about people who are need to be fed milk and not meat. Some are only babes in Christ. And really, sometimes when people have been a Christian for 20 years, they're still babes in Christ. Now, as we said at the beginning, sometimes these elders are called bishops. Sometimes they're called overseers. That's what a bishop is an overseer. But now let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 3, and he gives the qualifications of the elders and deacons. And we want to read through these. Here, the elder is called a bishop. In 1 Timothy 3 and verse 1, "This is a true saying, If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. Now, bishop means an overseer. That's what we read in Acts 20 and verse 28. They were overseers. A bishop is an overseer. And you must desire the office of a bishop. You desire a good work. A bishop then, verse 2, must be blameless. Leaders have got to straighten up their life and eliminate wickedness from their life. They must be blameless, but they also must be the husband of one wife. They must be a married man. And they must be vigilant. They must be a ready Christian, ready to watch, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, and apt to teach, not given to wine. So an elder is someone that is not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient. Not a brawler, he can't be getting into fights. Not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them that are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. These are the qualifications of an elder, of a bishop, an overseer. He must be a true blue Christian according to the scriptures. And also in this same passage, and we want to read about the deacons as well, the deacons support the elders. They're not elders, and they're not junior elders. They carry out the work of the assignments that the elders give them, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. But verse 8 says, likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of faith in a pure conscience. And let these also first be proved. And so you need to prove a person before he is appointed in the deaconship. It says, then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husband of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. For they that have used the office of a deacon well purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. We have been reading from 1 Timothy chapter 3. We've been reading about the bishops or the overseers or the elders. We've been reading about the deacons who are not overseers. Deacons carry out such work as we have a deacon here that gets men to lead prayers and wait on the Lord's table. He helps in the organization of the worship assemblies. We have another deacon who takes care of the building, and if it needs a repair or it needs something fixed, he takes care of that. We have another deacon that takes care of the teachers and makes sure all the Bible classes have teachers. So that's the duty and the function of deacons. They must be proven before being appointed into this work. Now the elders are to oversee everything. They're the overseers. They're to oversee the teachers and the building and the worship assemblies. And they're to oversee all the decisions of the church and who to support with their money and who to take care of and examine widows and examine works to make sure the money is going to a good and solid work. We're talking about elders. We're talking about deacons today. We're talking about the leadership. that God wants in the church. And if your church does not have elders or deacons or do not believe in that, you may be in the wrong church. Churches of Christ can exist, they can exist without an elder and without deacons. We see that from Acts 14. He established churches and then later he appointed elders over those churches. So churches can exist without elders because they did in the Bible. But let's read another passage, and that's from Titus chapter 1. This also goes over the qualifications of the elder. Look at verse number 5 of Titus chapter 1. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly, for a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God. So he's taking care of God's kingdom. He's a steward. The kingdom doesn't belong to him. It belongs to God. It says in verse 7, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convince the gainsayer. And so there it is. The elder is to have these qualifications, but he is also to know the Bible well enough that he can stand up against false teachers. And we don't have a lot of elders like that, it doesn't seem like. They don't even know false teaching when they hear it. But we do need elders that can recognize error from truth and to stop the teaching of any false doctrine in the local congregation. They are to protect the local congregation. So God ordained overseers over the work of the church. And their work is to do the edifying of the church, make sure it's fed. Their work is to make sure there is evangelism going on. The church has been commissioned to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But they've also been given responsibility of benevolence, helping the poor, as we see in 1 Timothy chapter 5, of taking care of widows, also in Acts chapter 6. The widows were to be taken care of. Now we need to recognize that elders are over it all. They're over the benevolence. They're over the church. But only the local congregation. They're not over another congregation. They're only over one congregation. And that is the congregation of which they are members. And they need to be faithful members of that one church. Now, there's also to be deacons. And these are all to be qualified people. They're to meet the qualifications that we've read from 1 Timothy 3 and also from Titus chapter 1. And so there's also preachers in the local congregation. We have elders, we have deacons, and we're to have preachers and teachers in the local congregation. Now, the preacher is to do the work of an evangelist. Let's notice in 2 Timothy chapter 4 that they are commissioned to preach the word. Notice in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 1, now the Spirit speaketh, I'm not in 2 Timothy, that's 1 Timothy. Let me go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Beginning with verse 1, I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Now, this is the most solemn charge. He's charged it before God, who will judge the living and the dead. He says, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof thy ministry. So we have elders in a local congregation. We have deacons in a local congregation. But we also have preachers in the local congregation. And they are to preach the word without fear of man and without favor of men. Just because there's some guilty sinner sitting in the audience, the preacher is not to go around the issue of the sinner. If the sinner is guilty of drinking, he needs to talk about drinking. If the sinner is guilty of fornication, then he has to preach on fornication. He can't say, well, I can't preach on this because someone is guilty of this sin in this auditorium, so I'm going to skip that subject today. That's not doing the work of an evangelist. We're to preach the whole counsel of God and to deliver God's message. Matter of fact, the sinner actually needs to hear a message which will warn him and cause him to repent of his sins if he would. And so we have elders and deacons and preachers. We have everyone is to be a servant. Everyone is to be a minister. That's who Jesus was. Jesus said he came not to be ministered unto, but he came to be a minister. He came to be a servant. And we're all to be servants of Jesus Christ. Every single one of us is to be a servant. So the preacher has the same duties as everyone else. He must visit the sick. He must encourage the weak. And so must all of us do that. It's not just the preacher is to visit the sick, but everyone is to be a minister of Jesus Christ. And so we've been talking about something very important, and that is the church of Christ, the church that Jesus built. And in that church, there is to be the right kind of leadership. We're not to appoint just any person to be a deacon, or just any old person to be a preacher, or to be an elder. We need the right kind of leadership. We need to have training classes for leaders, training classes for elders and for deacons, Bible class teachers. We need to develop leadership. The church that Jesus built needs leaders. And you, who I'm talking to right now, you need to develop yourself to be a leader in the Lord's church. And I hope that you are. Because God needs leaders, he needs workers, he needs servants, he needs those to do the work of evangelism. And that means all of us. Thank you for tuning in today. We've had a good study today on a very important subject, and that is the subject of leadership. Thank you for tuning in. My name is Richard Massey, and I preach for the Windmill Church of Christ, located at 4839 Tin Top Road, Weatherford, Texas. If you're ever in the Weatherford, Texas area, please come by and see us. We'll be glad to have you. And thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next time. Goodbye for now.